Today's shiur is dedicated for Schus for Fu Shleima for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Dapei Beis. We will begin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Baimnei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman the following question. Tashmish Shemitel Rabbanan. A wife who made a neder that she won't have relations with her husband. The Gemara's question is, under what category does it fall why the husband can be made for the neder? Tashma Shemitah L'Rabbanan. Tashma Shemitah according to Rabbanan, what category does it fall into? Ine Nefeshu, is it in the category of Ine Nefesh, or Dvarim Shebeinoi L'Beinohu, or is it in the category of Beinoi L'Beinoh? So the Rosh asks, how could there be such a question? Of course it has to be in the category of Inyan Nefesh. We know that the Torah Kedosha says, regarding Yom Kippur, Tanu Asnaf Sheseichem. And when the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur and says, Tanu Asnaf Sheseichem, that means anything that we're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur is because it's in the category of Inui. And one of the things that one may not do on Yom Kippur is have Tashmi Shemitah. And actually, the Gemara Masechta Yuma proves that point, because Lavan, when Yaakov left his house with Lavan's daughters, said to Yaakov Avinu, Imtana Espinoisai, you shouldn't do Inui to my daughters. And the Gemara over there, Masechta Yuma, explains what Lavan meant to say was that you shouldn't withhold Tashmish for my children, for my daughters. So you see, isn't this clearly an indication that Inui includes Tashmish Shemitah? So what's the Gemara's question? Where does Inui fall? So the Rosh answers that even though we have this pasuk, the reality is that the Isra of Tashmish Yom Kippur is only Isra D'Rabbanan, and the pasuk that we just quoted is only in a smachta. It's only in a smachta, and therefore that isn't the proof that withholding tashmish is considered an inui. The Nemuki Yosef says that there are two categories. On Yom Kippur, inui is required, and holding back from tashmish is in the category of inui. But when we speak about what type of nedarim a husband can be made for, there's a new category, and that is the category of Inui Nefesh. And Inui Nefesh is not necessarily, we don't have a proof from Yom Kippur as considered Inui Nefesh. Another teretz that the Shita Mekubetzes suggests is that even if we'll say that withholding Tashmish is an Inui, maybe it's only an Inui for the husband. Here, when we speak about a husband being able to be made for the dharma of his wife, which are in the category of Inui Nefesh, that when we speak about that, that's Inui Nefesh for the wife. And we don't have a proof that the wife experiences Inui Nefesh when she doesn't have Tashmish. What's the difference, going back to what we learned on Daf Ayin Tes? If the reason we're not having Tashmish is because of, if the husband is being made for a neder, if it's because of Inui Nefesh, or it's because Dvarim Shebeinoi L'Beinah, because when it's a neder, as we discussed, of Inui Nefesh, the halach is that neder, when the husband is made for it, that afara completely nullifies the neder, even for other people. But, and even if she gets divorced, that neder is nullified. But if the neder is nullified because of Dvarim Shebeinoi L'Beinoi, the hafara only is as far as the husband is concerned. And if she gets divorced, if they get divorced and she remarries another man, then that neder will come into play. So again, the Gemara began with a question: where does a neder of a woman saying that she won't have Tashmish Shemitah fall? In which category? Inui Nefesh or Beinoi L'Beinoi? Tinisua, says the Gemara, the answer is based on a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta on Daf Tzadik of Abayis. A woman who says, Netula nima Yehudim, that she says, I won't have tashmish with any Jew. And as we're going to learn the Gemara, but the Gemara says it includes that he won't have tashmish with her husband. The halach is yofa chalkoi. The husband should be made for what's relevant to him. But as far as other Jews are concerned, she will be also to have tashmish. So we see that it falls into the category of dvarim shebeinoi lebeinoi. Because I Amrit, says the Gemara, neder ine nefeshava, if we're going to say it falls into the category, of inu nefesh, why should she never be able to have relations with any Jew? Haven't we learned that when a husband is made for nedarim that are in the category of inu nefesh, it applies to everyone? The farah completely nullifies the nether. Shmami no. The fact that the Mishnah we're going to learn in Daf Tzadik doesn't say that. Rather, the Mishnah in Daf Tzadik says that it's only that he could continue having relations with her. Shmami no. From here, we clearly see that it's in the category of Dovar Mishabeno Labeno. So the Tosfos asks that the Mishnah we're going to learn, as we just said, on Daf Tzadik says that if a woman makes a neder that she's not going to have relations with any Jew, then the neder is effective as far as all other Jews. And as far as the husband is concerned, he should be made for that part. But the question is, we know, we often quote, that there's an important rule throughout Shas of Ein Issachal Al Isser. So this woman, being that she's an Eishes Ish, so once she's an Eishes Ish, then the halacha is that she's already prohibited for having relations with any other man. So why don't we apply the concept of Ein Issachal Al Isser? Says Tosfos Yontif, since the neder affects the husband, so now that's a neder, that's in the category of Issa Maisif. That even though we often describe that Ein Issachal Al Isser, but if it's a situation of Issa Maisif that it adds somebody who wasn't originally Usser, then we say Issachal Al Isser. The husband, obviously, she was allowed to have relations with. And since it's Isser is effective for the husband, it's effective for everyone else. Another teretz that the Malum suggests, we learned around earlier in the Masechta that if something is also b'shvua, if somebody made a shvua that they won't eat a certain food, and then they made a neder, since a shvua is issa gavra, and a neder is issa cheftza, then for its chal. Says the Miluim, this is a gavra, and this makes it a neder, makes it into issa cheftza. Another explanation that Rabbi Kiv Eger wants to suggest, that this whole perek is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. But regarding, and even though Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold Ein Issachal Al Isser, this halacha, we're not going to fasten like Rabbi Yosef, and we're going to hold Ein Issachal Al Isser. Another pshat Rabbi Kivega gives, which is a concept that we've discussed, that even though we say Ein Issachal Al Isser, what does that mean? It's not that the second Isser doesn't at all take effect. As we've discussed in many shiurim, what Ein Issachal Al Isser teaches us is that the second Isser hovers over the first Isser. And since it hovers, when there'll be an opportunity for it to be able to be chal, to become effective, then it will become effective. So explains Rabbi Kiveger, since it is in essence there, even though it has nowhere to land, we have to be made for it, because it is a neder. So, we just learned, that if a wife made a neder that she won't have relations with any man, the husband is allowed to be made for what's relevant to him, and she'll be able to have tashmish with him, at least as long as the marriage going. So the Beis Yosef asks two questions. One is that the Mishnah, it seems to say, Netula Anim and Yehudim, that means she made an Isser on everyone else, but not but the issa wasn't on everyone else, it was on herself. And why should that be a valid isser? Why should she be able to make such a nether? The halach is that whenever somebody has a pre-existing obligation, the nether can't be effective. So if she has a pre-existing obligation that every woman has, every married woman has, to have relations with a wife, so how could this nether be chal? So I saw that the Bach and the Prisha say that's only if she made a nether, that she has an obligation to have relations with her husband, and now she goes and makes a nether that she won't. So that nether is not going to be effective because she has a pre-existing obligation to have relations with her husband. But since the nether, the way it was worded, was not specifically only towards the husband, but rather the nether was worded that she won't have relations with anyone, then the nether is effective, even though she has a pre-existing obligation to have relations with her husband. The Machna Frayim uses another approach. We're going to learn, we've learned, that there's a concept of kenamis mefkim edei shibut kehegdish. That even if you have something mortgaged, so you have already existing mortgage on a certain object of land, if you magdish it, the hegdish has the ability to take off that pre-existing lien. And the Gemara, as we've discussed, says that kainamis are in the same category as hegdish. If kainamis are in the same category as hegdish, so just like hegdish could take off a pre-existing shibud, so too could kainam. If that's the case, that they're equivalent, now we could very well understand the Gemara. The way we're going to understand the Gemara is that, yes, the woman has a pre-existing obligation to have relations with her husband. But although she has that pre-existing obligation, but a kainam could take off that pre-existing obligation. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara proved that shma mina, it must be that it's devarim lebeino lebeino. Says the Gemara, it's not necessarily proof that not having relation is considered b'orim b'na. Rabbanan t'b'ilach. The question here was, according to Rabbi Yossi, indeed, that would be the halacha. But the question is according to Rabbanan. Rabbanan, mishum netulim and yehudim, the Mishnah over there, when it speaks about netulim and yehudim, Rabbi Yossi k'tan Allah. Because as we discussed in our previous year, the Gemara says that the Mishnayis in our Perek follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But the question here, therefore, is according to Rabbanan. And as the Gemara says, Dom Rav Huna, as Rav Huna taught us in our previous year, Kula Perkin, Rabbi Yossi hi. The entire Perek represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Memai, what is the proof that the Perek represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Kivin Diktani, since we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph, Rabbi Yossi Ayim Ein Eilin Nidri Nefesh, and then he continues, what are in the Nefesh? So we see that from here on, the Mishnah is representing the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. If that's the case, Lamele Sula Misna, why does the Mishnah have to repeat, Hareze Divrei Rabbi Yossi? Shema Minah Mikan Ve'elech, to teach us that all the Mishnayis are going to go into Rabbi Yossi. And if that's the case, that the Mishnayis are following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, we don't have a Raya, even though we've been able to prove that that Mishnah proves that it's in the category of Beina LeBeina, we don't know what Rabbanan will hold. Am Shmuel Mishmei DeLevi, Kol Nedarim, any nether that has in it in a Nefesh, Baal Meifel Ishtoi, the husband has a right to be made for the nether. Chutz mina nosia ploini. Since if a woman says that this certain person may not have any benefit from me, that nether ain't a mefer. Avo hal nos ploini alai. If she says that I can't have benefit from a certain person, that nether mefer, the husband has a right to be mefer. Because if she said that she won't have benefit from a certain individual, that may be very troubling to her, very bothersome to her, and therefore it's in the category of inu nefesh that the husband can be made for. So the Shalfi Shalom in the Dharma explains, what is Shmuel coming to teach us? So he says that what Shmuel is coming to teach us, that even if she made a neder, which involves something difficult, the husband can be made for because of inner nefesh. Because if the woman wants to eat something, and now by making this neder, she won't be able to eat it, the halacha is that the neder is a neder. And he goes on to say something. Even if it's something that is really not healthy, or even if it's something that she never tasted, so how can we say that it's neder of inin nefesh? She never even tasted it. Still, the husband could say that I'm sure my wife would have enjoyed this food, and therefore it's considered a neder of inin nefesh. The Sefer Pharisean says what the Gemara is coming to teach us is that till now, when we've been speaking about examples of neder inin nefesh, they really spoke about things that are very problematic. Not taking a bath, not putting on makeup. So those are obviously situations that we could well understand are considered inin nefesh. But in a case where what she said, even if it's something that's not so great, but to put it into the category of inin nefesh, maybe that far we shouldn't go, teaches us Shmuel, if it's inin nefesh, then the halacha is that it's inin nefesh, no matter how serious or not serious it is. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, Peres Medun Zu'alai, if a woman said, I'm not allowed to eat fruit from a certain country, Yavala Medina Acheres, she bring a fruit from the other country, and just because she said, I won't eat from this country's fruit, doesn't make it a neder in a nefesh. Now, as we just explained, if a woman said that she won't have benefit from a certain person, it's already considered in a nefesh. So why is this? Why? Amar Yosef, Amar Shatavi Ata. The Mishnah is speaking about a case that she said, if you'll bring me the Paris, but if somebody else will bring me the Paris, I may have them. And therefore, because she's just limited that I can't have these fruit, if my husband brings them, that doesn't mean she prohibited herself from the fruit. There's other people that could bring the fruit. But indeed, if she would have said that I can't have fruit from a specific country, that would be enough to make it into the nefesh. And therefore, in our case as well, the fact that she can't have even hanor from one person, or as we just finished describing, even if it's a minimal ini nefesh, the halacha is that it's considered a situation of inu nefesh. Tashma. So the Gemara brings another question on Shmuel. Mishnah said, Peres Chanvani Zerlai, if she said, I'm not allowed to have hanor from the Peres from this store, and Yochel Hafer, the husband can't be made for the neder. But why? Why should he not be able to make for? We're just learning that any type of discomfort is enough to make it into any nefesh. Says the Gemara, because the Mishnah's case is Hachinami the Kamish Tavi Ata. It wasn't that she said I can't have fruit at all. She only said if you, my husband, delivered that fruit, then I can't have it. That's not considered any nefesh. Our case that Shmuel referred to is when she can't have it under any teretz. So the Sefer Parshas Nedarim asks, what is the Gemara trying to do? We've already proven a moment ago that a Mishnah speaking about Shetavi Ata. So explains the Sefer Parshas Nedarim that there's a shakl of a tari here. The Gemara at the beginning assumed that the next case of the Mishnah is not referring to a situation of Shetavi Ata. Why is it not speaking about a case of Shetavi Ata? Because we already learned what the halacha is when it's a situation of Shetavi Ata. So the Gemara assumed that the next case of the Mishnah is presumably not speaking about Shetavi Ata, and that's why the Gemara had to say no, that even the next case of the Mishnah is referring to a case of Shetavi Ata, and therefore it's not a refutation of the opinion of Shmuel. Ask the Gemara, but we continued learning the Mishnah. What would be the case? We explained that if this is the only store that's willing to give credit, then the halacha is that hareis a yofer, then the husband's allowed to be mefer. But ask the Gemara, the Amrit, if we're explaining that our Mishnah is only speaking about a case, the commerce of Shtavi Ata. It's not that she's saying I can't have benefit from the store. I just can't have benefit from the store if you bring from that store. So why yofer? She's not giving up the ability to have credit. They're not giving up the ability to have credit. Somebody else will bring her the food, not her husband. Says the Gemara, element of Sefer Deloy Maisabal, if, as we just explained, the Sefer is talking about not specifically that she said, I won't have Hanoah when my husband brings it, but rather any fruit, anybody who brings from there, I can't have fruit. Reisha the Kamaisahi, that's how we have to explain that the Reisha is also speaking about the case. So if that's the case, that even though a woman prohibited herself a specific man, a certain thing, the halacha is it's still not considered in nefesh. And how could Shmuel say that if you made a limited isser, it's considered in nefesh? Says the Gemara, Reisha and Yochel Hafer. The reason the Reisha, why if she said I won't have fruit from a certain person, he can't be mefer. The halacha is because the kamaisihi, she. See, since it's not absolutely usur, that's why it's not considered any nefesh. Umasnithan, however, that isn't a question now on Shmuel's opinion, that Shmuel has been teaching us that we are machmer, and we are broad in our application of any nefesh. Because as we've been saying throughout our shir, Masnithan Rabbi Yosihi, our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, as we learned earlier, the Amar of Huna Kula Prick and Rabbi Yosi. And as we've been learning, Rabbi Yosi has a very limited application of Inu Nefesh. So according to Rabbi Yosi, of course, he has a very limited application of Inu Nefesh, and therefore, all these cases of our Mishnah will not be considered Inu Nefesh. But the Chacham, this way around, explains the Gemara, don't have that limited application of Inu Nefesh. And since they don't have that limited application of Inu Nefesh, they will concur with Shmuel. Another explanation is that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Yosi. And the Chachamim, and the first Eretz, and Shmuel holds on the Chachamim. And another said that Shmuel is saying that even according to Rabbi Yosi, maybe they wouldn't be considered Inu Nefesh, but they would be considered Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. And since they're considered Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino, that's why even the examples that the Shmuel gave, the halacha is that the nether is considered a nether that the husband can be made for, albeit, as we said earlier in our shir, there are different rules when a husband's being made for a nether because it's Inu Nefesh, or a husband's being made for a nether because it's Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. And therefore, as I said earlier, the Nemukah Yosef says that even we have a food that most people don't eat that food, so it's hard to consider withholding oneself from eating such a food as Inui Nefesh. If this woman wants to eat the food, or that's enough to make it into Inui Nefesh. And therefore the Taz says that if this is a food that isn't necessarily healthy for this woman, but she wants to eat it, and therefore holding back will be considered a situation of Inui Nefesh. Again, I saw that there are Paiskim that want to differentiate, because if it's a food that's really not healthy for her, but if she'll eat it once, it wouldn't be fatal. That's why it's considered Inui Nefesh. But let's say it would be a food that a woman, because of her medical situation, can't have from that food even the slightest amount, then maybe it would not indeed be considered Inui Nefesh. Says the Gemara, Mayna Eni Yochel Hafer. What does it mean, Eni Yochel Hafer? What the Mishnah means to say is, B'shem Eni Nefesh, but in the Nedarim Shebein No Lebeino. So we began the Mishnah on Daf Ein Tess Omer Aleph by teaching us that a husband can be mefer nedar that have in them Ein Nefesh. We learned what's going to be the halacha, where a woman, we're going to be learning now a situation when a woman made a neder that she can't have eat two types of food. One of the foods withholding from that food involves inu nefesh, but the other food doesn't involve inu nefesh. How does the halacha look at such a situation? How does the halacha look at situation? Does the halacha look at it as one neder, or does it look at it as two nedarim? Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul teaches us, nadra b'shtei kikros, if a woman made a neder that she won't have two types of breads, achas mesana, the one is a very good loaf of bread, and therefore it's considered inu nefesh by withholding that bread. V'achas eina masana. But one is a very poor quality bread, and withholding from that bread is not such a big deal. Says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, v'toich shu meifel a masana, since he certainly has a right to be meifer on the bread that involves inu nefesh, then the halacha is meifel eina masana. He can be meifer even the bread that doesn't involve inu nefesh. And the way the Rishonim explain, we're going to see in the Gemara, the pasuk says Ishi Kemena Vishi Yefirenu. The halacha is that the entire neder Ishi Yefirenu. The halacha is that the husband is made for the neder. Rabbi Yosi Amar Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Meifel Masana, the bread that involves eating nefesh, the husband can be meifer. Vein meifel Shein Masana, but the other bread doesn't have inu nefesh, he can't be mefer, because he could only be mefer inu nefesh. The Rishonim give a number of ways of understanding this Gemara. The Ran explains that Shmuel's opinion is that since both parts of the neder involve food, so even though one food involves inu nefesh and one food does not involve inu nefesh, the two parts of this neder are too much connected that we should be able to separate them because they both involve eating. And that's why Shmuel says that once you made for the Masana, you made for Sha'ena Masana as well. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Yes, both parts of the nether involve eating. But why is that a reason to connect both parts of the nether? And therefore, each nether is looked at separately. Tosfos says that the basis of Shmuel's halacha is that we have a rule of neder shota mektsasa huta kulay. We've discussed that halacha many times in our masechta. And Shmuel's opinion is that the concept of neder shota mektsasa huta mekula is not only applied in a situation of ataras nadarim, it's also applied in a situation of afaras nadarim, where a husband is made for nadarim. The Rosh explains that in a very simple way. She expressed this neder, and she indeed spoke about two loaves, but she spoke about each loaf separately. And the machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, is that considered one neder, or is it considered two nedarim? Is the fact that she spoke about each loaf separately make it into two separate nedarim? So is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, whereas Shmuel's opinion is that since she mentioned both nedarim at the same time, that's enough. Even though she said them in two separate phrases, the halacha is that we say eina nefesh. The Ritva has a different explanation. The Ritva's explanation is as follows. Yes, the Torah only gives a husband a right to be made for nidre eina nefesh. But Ritva, in explaining the opinion of Shmuel, says that once the husband is being made for the neder, which indeed involves nidre inu nefesh, what the Torah says to that husband is, you also have a right to be made for nedarim that don't involve inu nefesh. Since you're primarily focused on the neder that has in it inu nefesh, the halacha is that it's able to expand even to the part that doesn't have in it inu nefesh. And Rabbi Yochanan says, mechitesi, yes, we could be made for the part that has inu nefesh, as we've been learning. But why should that be able to be expanded to the part that doesn't have inu nefesh? Vikad Amri says the Gemara, a different version, that the way to learn What happened here was the boy Menei of Asi, Rabbi Yochanan of Asi, posed a question to Rabbi Yochanan. If a woman made a neder mishtei kikris, achas misana, and one involves inu nefesh, achas ein misana, and one loaf doesn't involve inu nefesh, mahu, what is the halacha? Amalei, to which Rabbi Yochanan responded, meifil misana, you can be meifil to the bread that involves inu nefesh, the ena meifil ishena misana, these are to be considered two separate nedarim. We spoke earlier in our shiur about the woman who made a neder that she won't have benefit from a certain person. And we spoke when the husband can be made for such a neder, one when the husband can't make such a neder. The question is, what will be the Marit in Chelek Aleph Siman Hay discusses a very interesting shaila. There was a person in the city who was acting in a very disrespectful manner towards the Rav of the city. And the Rav of the city got so upset, and he said that I will never benefit from that person. But the Rav collects a salary from the city, which this person, as a resident of the city, contributes to that fund from which the Rabbonim get paid. Will the Rav be allowed to take his salary? Or the Rav made a neder, I won't have any benefit from that person, and that person is paying into that fund. So the Maran, the Marit, quotes the Tashbatz, who says that when a Rav is getting paid, it's not to be viewed as if the individuals who live in the city are paying that Rav.
And now, if we look at it as if the individuals who are living in the city are paying that Rav, then he's not going to get paid from a person from whom he may not have benefit. Rather, the way to look at it, explains the Marit in the name of Tashbatz, is that there's something called the city fund. Yes, the city fund is funded by the various citizens of the city, but the fund is not a representation of each individual separately. But rather, the way to look at the fund is that the fund is a separate entity that even though, even though it's funded from the various citizens of the city, it's not considered as if the Rav is having benefit from that particular individual, and the Rav will be able to continue collecting his salary, even though he made this neder.